Happy Father's Day, dads. And happy Juneteenth to everyone, a day when we celebrate the tardy arrival of the good news of liberation. Liberation which is still working itself out and has yet to reach complete fulfillment. So my task today is to celebrate fathers. And I have two things that I would like to say about being a father. The first is about identity, and the second is about eternity. And while most of what I have to say is spoken with all parents in mind, I will be addressing dads since this is our day. So, identity. My daughter is 12, and 4 months before she was born, I failed my comprehensive exams and was forced to drop out of graduate school. This was a significant blow to my self-esteem and my identity, since a particular career path I had been working towards for 4 years was suddenly taken away. Furthermore, I was now unemployed. And in fact, for my daughter Sophia's first year and a half of life, I did not have a permanent full-time job. And I was in my 40s, still not a homeowner. Now, dads and other parents, as you know, much of our identity is about taking care of our family by having a good job and earning money, about having a career path. So during those months when I was unemployed, I was distressed about my identity. I felt empty, like a failure, like I wasn't doing what a father should do. I spent a lot of time feeling bad about myself. Elaine, my wise and patient wife, would sometimes tell me that the stripping away of these other aspects of my identity was a good thing because it allowed me to have a lot of time to spend with Sophia. But although I loved being with my daughter, I didn't quite fully take in what Elaine was saying. At a certain level, I still felt like a failure as a father and as a provider. But eventually, I was able to take in the truth about my identity as a father when Sophia communicated to me how she felt about it. When she was about 18 months old, I finally got a job, and Sophia went to daycare. When she was about 2, it turned out that one of the teachers, Miss Jen, had been getting a bigger and bigger tummy over the course of several months. Right? And finally, Miss Jen disappeared. She's gone for like 6 or 8 weeks. And then finally, she comes back to the daycare with baby Henry. Right? And so all the toddlers and the 2-year-olds got to see Miss Jen with her new baby, and they're learning about where babies come from. So the day after Miss Jen brought Henry in, I'm carrying Sophia up the long walk to the daycare, and we're talking about baby Henry. And as I was writing about this, I was remembering what it's like to carry her, and I can still, even though it was 10 years ago, still remember what it's like to hold her like that. It's almost like I have muscle memory. And it made me think, dads, what kind of muscle memory do you have of your kids when they were young, maybe a little bit older? I remember that I used to carry Sophia on my shoulders, not like this, with her legs straddling my neck, but on the right side, because I was afraid I would drop her. And I can remember her sitting there, but more specifically, I can remember sometimes she would put her hand on the top of my hair like this, and I can still feel that. It's like hair memory or muscle memory. And then sometimes, maybe to keep from falling off, she would kind of grab my ear like this. I remember that. So maybe a gift for yourselves today, dads, is to think back of what it was like. Your body still remembers, you know, tackling that little kid, playing football, whatever you did with your kids, those memories I think are still there. So anyway, back to Miss Jen and Henry. The day after they were brought into the daycare, I'm carrying Sophia up the walk, and I really kind of want her to understand this for herself. And so I said to Sophia, just like baby Henry was inside Miss Jen's tummy, you were in mommy's tummy too. And she said, she looked at me with concern and she said, but Daddy, I was in your tummy too. But Daddy, I was in your tummy too. And those words really impacted me. They conveyed such a deep desire for affiliation and bonding that during those 18 months, I kind of felt like maybe I didn't deserve. Her love was so strong that it fell upon me like a rain shower of grace. Her words reminded me of a whole set of values and a way of seeing what's important in the world that I had somehow lost sight of during my period of unemployment in the wake of my failed exams. Her comment was a compelling invitation to just relax about being a father who completely has his act together. It dawned on me that those other aspects of my identity as a father didn't matter to her. She never cared that I was a 45-year-old unemployed graduate school dropout. What mattered to her was that I was her daddy. So, dads, I think that maybe our kids aren't so concerned about our degrees, our job titles, our social status, our 401k, what kind of car we drive. We may tend to focus on our limitations or our weaknesses, maybe even our illnesses, addictions. And I know that many dads face much greater challenges than just not completing a degree. But these things aren't what concern our children. I'm not saying, dads, that we don't work on those things, right? I certainly was looking for a job during those 18 months. But our kids, they just want us. We're their dad. And this, I think, is the extraordinary gift of fatherhood that we celebrate today. Our kids just want us. Who we are is good enough. In the gospel reading today, Jesus and his disciples had spent a long, hot day working the crowd. Everyone was tired and hungry, so the disciples wanted to create a plan for sending the crowd out for food and lodging. They get together and they're going to get things done, right? They huddle up and they say, well, let's put together a task force, maybe conduct a survey about food preferences among these 5,000 people, circulate a sign-up list with dining choices. We got to maybe explore transportation options. Jesus says, stop a minute, boys. What do you got on you? They start rooting through their pockets. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, sir. And Jesus says, that's enough. So what do you got on you, dads? 5 loaves and 2 fishes? If that's all you got, that's enough. Who we are, just ourselves, is enough for our kids. I don't think Jesus's miracles were intimidating displays of divine power. Instead, they were examples of the deep and abiding trust that he had that his heavenly parent would take care and provide, while Jesus just stayed present to God's children. Okay. The second thing that I wanted to talk about is eternity. And this doesn't take quite as long as it sounds. When Sophia was about 2.5 or 3, we were taking her on Saturday mornings to music classes for young children at the Eastman School downtown. And one morning, it was just me and her, and we go up this elevator and we get off, and there's a long hallway down to her classroom. And nobody's around, so she just takes off running. okay? And her little arms and legs are pumping, and she's at that age where she's gloriously discovering what her body can do and where it can take her. Look at my arms, look at my legs, here I go. And instead of chasing after her, which is what I often did at that time, I kind of fell in right next to her. And so we were running in sync down the hall. And you know how in photography, when a photographer does panning and they follow the athlete and everything behind is blurry? It's kind of like that's what happened. All those office windows and everything blurred out, and I just saw Sophia and me. And her joy and her energy were so contagious that they were kind of impacting me. It was like I was catching it, right? And I just realized, oh my gosh, this is my daughter. This fireball of energy and wonder is in my life. It's like she had woken me out of the emotional doldrums of my sleep-deprived dad's routine. And she showed me that it was all just this wonderful gift. And then I kind of stepped back and I was able to see myself being aware of this gift. And I realized I will always have this moment. Even as time continues and eventually I look back at it in the past, this moment will always be there. It's an eternal moment. So that run down the hallway lasted only maybe 5 to 10 seconds, right? And Sophia and I were just having a ball, just getting to music class. But it was an eternal moment. And I think maybe it was my awareness that helped make it eternal. I was fully present, and she was fully present, and we were present there together. So all I can say, dads, is keep your eyes open for those moments. I don't think you can manufacture them. It doesn't seem like they come when we want them to come, but I think we can stay open and receptive, open-hearted enough to see one of those moments when it happens. And the last thing that I want to say is that you don't need one of these to record the eternal moments. Okay, I have no visual recording of our dash down the hallway. I don't think you store these eternal moments on a hard drive or in the cloud. I think, dads, that we store them in our mind and in our heart. That's where they'll last forever. Happy Father's Day, dads, to you and your eternal hearts.